Roses Rooted in Your Heart, written by Black Cat, read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Relationship, Fox, Ferris Olin. Rating, teen and up. Also tagged for alternate universe dragons, humor, fluff, and alternate universe canon divergence. Part 13 of the Luminous Beings Are We series. Think, Stone says warily, that as much as I appreciate your faith in us, this might have been a miscalculation. It's not, Ferris says, amused, and even though Fox has never thought that smug looks good on anyone, he can appreciate the arch of one dark brow, entirely pointed. I was in your place too once, Commander. Stone looks from Ferris to the sheer drop between two buildings and back. His silence is disbelieving. Ferris is unmoved. You told me you wanted to learn how to fly, he says. This is how every youngling learns, and it's better to do it now than when you get bigger, or it will just be harder to find a place to practice. This isn't a place to practice, Thorne says, incredulous. This is a place to die. I would catch you long before you could hit something, even if you couldn't manage to catch yourself, Ferris says, smiling. And given the speed with which he put his scales on when they were facing that huge dark side dragon, Fox believes him. Not that he has any skin in this game, of course. Aren't you tired of whining yet? He asks pointedly, folding his arms over his chest and giving both of his supposedly brave, decorated commanders a look. Stone winces, but Thorne just scowls back, defiant in the way only a man who hasn't recently been reminded that he set High General Mace Windu's robes on fire when he got the hiccups can be. Fox should probably remedy that. Not that he hasn't reminded Thorne several dozen times this week alone. Are you sure you can't fly, Commander? Thorne asks. He's not nearly as good at spiteful as he thinks he is. Maybe we should push you off just to check. I'm sure you could try, Fox says condescendingly, and ignores the way both Stone and Thorne eye him. It's a smaller, brighter thrill when Ferris raises a hand to hide his grin, and Fox doesn't let himself puff up, but it's a near thing, maybe. No one needs to get pushed off yet, Ferris says, not quite diplomatically, given that phrasing, Fox thinks. The yet is a pretty big factor. Commander Thorne, Commander Stone, if you truly don't want to learn, we can focus on controlling your flames instead. I know Master Windu didn't mind what happened the other day, but it might be best to avoid it in the future. Thorne goes crimson, instantly ducks his head, and Stone winces. Fox takes one look at Ferris's too polite expression, the awareness of exactly what he just did in his eyes, and decides then and there that he's going to marry this man somehow. Jedi Order be damned. Even if he has to arrange a blackout drunk night for the both of them on Zeltron so they can wake up married, it will be worth it just to watch him pick on Fox's commanders for the rest of their natural lives. Flying sounds good, Thorne says too loudly, and turns away, still bright red, stalking over to the edge and peering down. There's a ripple across his shoulder blades, bright feathers that want to come out, but he doesn't shift. Criff, that's a long way down. Falls rarely are enough to kill Force sensitives, Ferris says, rising to his feet, and Fox lets his eyes follow the elegant lines of Ferris's form, a sharp sort of appreciation biting beneath his ribs. And by Force sensitive, he means them. The chips suppressed it, but now that they're deactivated, the clones get everything that Jango tried to deny them. Rarely doesn't mean never, Stone says, and he joins Thorne at the edge, leaning over with an expression like that of a man being sent to his execution. Ferris touches Stone's shoulder, then Thorne's. I'll catch you if anything happens, he promises again, and smiles when Thorne slants him a glance. Put on your scales for me? You too, Fox. Fox has no problem getting into dragon form, since he's not the one getting threatened with sheer drops that cut halfway down to Coruscant's core. Smugly, he stands up, and in the weeks since the first transformation, it's gotten as easy as breathing. One long reach and a pull. Crimson fur blooms, and there hardly even seems to be a shift from one to the other. He pushes up, the rooftop suddenly much smaller and much fuller. Delicately, Fox shoves one of Stone's trailing wings aside, then reaches out and snags Ferris around the waist, hulling him back just in time to miss getting clipped with the spikes on Thorne's tail, as Thorne shakes himself. Fox growls, a reprimand, and Thorne makes an apologetic sound, hunkering down on the edge a little more tightly. I'm all right, Ferris says, softly, stroking a hand over Fox's fur, the edging of white scales around his eyes. Fox dips his head into the touch, noses into it, and Ferris scratches at just the right spot, long, slim fingers putting just the right amount of pressure behind the gesture. Fox rumbles, pleased, smug to be getting the touches when Thorne and Stone are both glaring, and he loosens his grip on Ferris, settles back on his haunches, and tips his head, nudging Ferris back towards his commanders. I'm going, Ferris says, faintly flushed, and quickly pulls his hand away. Who wants to go first? Thorne looks at Stone. Stone looks back, and they very deliberately don't even attempt to volunteer. Ferris raises a brow, precise and withering. Neither of you, he asks, faintly disappointed in a way that feels more crushing than outright condemnation could ever be. Stone, at least, has the decency to duck his head, rubbing a paw over his massive horns, while Thorne remains stubbornly in place, unwavering. All right, Ferris says after a moment, and he gives Fox one more light stroke before he steps away. Between one second and the next, a sleek black and gold dragon with a gold mane is slipping between Thorne and Stone's bulk, pushing right up to the edge. Ferris is still bigger than the three of them, even though in comparison to some other Jedi, he's not a large dragon. And when he unfurls his large wings, they fall behind Thorne and Stone. Entirely able to guess what's about to happen, Fox discreetly shifts back so he won't get caught in the chaos. Every Jedi does this when they're children, Ferris says, and the rumble of his voice in dragon form is something deeper, but still warm. And he leans over the edge, tipping his head at Thorne. Wings out. Thorne huffs, displeased, but after a second he unfurls his wings as well, metallic bright feathers catching the sunlight. Stone is a beat slower, his wings already just as wide as Ferris's, heavy and red-brown as the sun. There's a pause as Thorn looks at Stone, clearly waiting for him to go first, and Stone glares back, very much not about to. With a heave and a shove, a flash of gold and black, Ferris sweeps his wings up, sleek muscles bunching, and shoves them both right over the edge. There's a scramble, a howl, and Fox's two best commanders drop like rocks. He sighs, covering his eyes with a paw, and listens to them squawk like chickens who can't even remember they have wings as they plummet downwards. With a rumbling laugh, Ferris curls around him, scales sliding slick and soft across Fox's fur. Fox turns his head, rubbing their cheeks together, bumping his curling horns against Ferris's, twining their tails. And Ferris rumbles softly, noses beneath Fox's chin, and then bounds right over the edge and arrows downward with impossible speed, reaching the falling shapes in a moment. Pointedly, he beats his wings to slow his fall. Fox leans over, watching with amusement as Thorn and Stone desperately start beating theirs. Then, deft and graceful, Ferris tips his into a glide, swooping up towards a wide expanse of grass that looks like an abandoned garden. Determinedly, Stone and Thorn follow, almost colliding in the air, correcting too late, fumbling. Fox watches with a deep, existential sort of despair as they both miss the landing and plow straight into the overgrown greenery. But, well, at least it's a start. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!